Hello, this is Microbe Talk, the podcast from the Microbiology Society. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the research being done by the UK microbiology community into SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Last month, on July 29th, the Microbiology Society hosted a one-day online workshop to support ongoing and future research around the pandemic. It was a fantastic event, headed by an organising committee of Professor Peter O'Hare, Professor Mark Harris, Professor Paul Kellum, Dr. Steve Griffin, and Dr. Lindsay Broadbent. The workshop featured presentations from researchers across the UK and Ireland, and explored a number of topics, including how the virus behaves in cell culture, viral load and exhaled breath, and the susceptible animal hosts, to name just a few. In this episode, I'm going to be speaking with Lindsay, Steve, and Peter from the organising committee about the day, how it went, and how going forwards we hope to continue to support the community in tackling the pandemic. Hi everyone, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Microbe Talk. Now, before we get started, it would be great to find out a little more about yourselves and your research backgrounds.
I am Dr. Lindsay Broadbent. I'm a Wellcome Trust ISSF Fellow in Queen's University Belfast. I look at really the host pathogen interaction between viruses and the airway epithelial cells. At the minute, I'm focusing on what happens long term to those airway cells after infection. So is there kind of long term consequences? Do we see remodeling and do we see the development of disease after respiratory virus infection?
So I'm Steve Griffin. I'm an associate professor at University of Leeds. I'm a virologist and I'm also the chair of virus division. Mainly, we work on three areas of virology. One is antiviral drug development, targeting ion channels that viruses make as sort of nice unique drug targets. And we've had some success along those lines. And that's how we've got into the sort of idea of looking at SARS-2. But we also work on viruses and their links with cancer. So we look at how viruses cause cancer and also how we can also use viruses as a treatment for cancer. So what people term oncolytic viruses, but it's actually a form of immunotherapy that we concentrate on. So we sort of split into three areas in our group.
My name is Peter O'Hare. I'm a professor in virology in Imperial College in the Department of Infectious Diseases. Throughout my entire career, I have been a virologist, mainly in the large DNA viruses. And currently my own main interests are focused on very early events in virus entry into a host cell, transcription from an invading DNA genome, and the responses of the host cell to that within minutes of infection.
And what motivated you to host this workshop?
So really the point of this workshop was to create a collaborative community that could very freely and openly discuss their research, share ideas, and hopefully share resources and really help each other. I think what one of the most important things we've seen in the science community in this pandemic is the collaborative effort. I really have seen nothing like this in the past. Everyone seems to just want to help. And although there tends to be this competitiveness in science, that doesn't seem to be there for COVID. So really it was about increasing that collaboration and giving people a forum to discuss ideas. And it worked really well on the day. That is how it worked on the day.
What we seek to generate through this is, okay, the practical aspects of sharing reagents and techniques and experience. But really what I would like to see grow from it is a sense of community. And I hope that will be consolidated in the future by a physical meeting. I'm modelling that very much on our UK hepatitis C virus meetings, which started 20 years ago. Prior to that, people knew who each other were, knew vaguely what each other did. But over the years, that community's built into now our flavivirus and hepatitis C virus community, which is thriving and fantastic. And we have great friends and colleagues there. And I really hope that we can attain something like that for the SARS-2 research in the UK. That would be, you know, obviously it's slightly biased, but I think that's the kind of sense of community we want to achieve. I don't think this doesn't need to be a cold reagent sharing thing. This needs to be a warm, accepting and all-encompassing community that allows us to further research onto this virus, which is really the only way we're going to move forward back to normality.
There were a couple of things here. Firstly, I have seen the responses of other similar sister type organizations and mobilize fairly quickly to pull together different laboratories, advertise resources, let people know what was going on, and thought for sure that there was a place for that in a UK-centric way. The other thing practically was that I did become involved with very rapid responses in reviewing and selecting projects that go forward for funding. In any event, I was involved in helping review some of those in Imperial College, and it made me realize that I could now see a lot of responses and activities that, frankly, I knew very little about. There were engineers, chemists, physicists coming up with responses. And of course, one of the things that has come out of this has been really a tremendous sort of signpost about the possibilities of collaboration. And what we needed was a central forum, you know, a badge, a banner under which we could advertise these collaborations, not from a university doing that, but from an appropriate society. And very obviously, the Microbiology Society would be it. So that was the driver, and I'm glad it came to fruition.
So during my time at the Microbiology Society, I have been to several annual conferences and focus meetings, but this was our very first virtual event. Steve, as head of the virus division, you are no stranger to organising sessions at Microbiology Society events. How did this compare to a typical in-person conference?
Well, this was done quite quickly. As you know, the 2020 conference was cancelled. And so this was something that we felt we needed to do in response to the pandemic. And it was a fantastic idea that Mark and Peter and Paul and others came up with. And we were very happy to work with them on that. It was quite different, but I think our experience with organising the annual conference did help, in particular in sort of, you know, gauging the remit of the day and sort of cutting through to some of the, you know, just sort of lessons that we've learned over time in putting these things together. I've been on Virus Division since, I think, 2015, so, or 2014. So you pick up a few bits to concentrate on, I think is probably fair. But it was definitely a new experience organising something completely online. And I'd say that Joe and his team were brilliant in supporting us doing that.
And did it go as expected?
Yeah, I think so. It went a lot smoother than I thought it might. I was quite anxious about chairing, you know, all the online stuff. I think the only thing that's really missing from it, and I don't know how we're going to work that in, is the idea of people asking questions themselves. I think that's the one thing that's missing, that sort of interaction that you get between audience and speaker, because it all has to come through the conference chair. But yeah, I think it worked really well. There are a couple of technical glitches with people's internet connections, but I guess that was fairly minimal. But actually, I think everyone enjoyed it. There was some really good science. There were some really interesting questions. And I think what it did was really help to illustrate who was doing what in the UK, which was really one of the major aims of the day.
We've all of us become quite used to Zoom within our own labs, within our own departments and other meetings. And think this is possibly quite easy. We just press a button and off you go. So it turned out slightly more difficult, some of the issues that came up as we went along, both in terms of the science and selection for Microsoc itself, of course, in piloting this first virtual conference. What we wanted to do was start to advertise, not perfectly formed cases of science, but start to advertise, this is what's going on, and or this is what is planned. These are the connections, and hopefully these are the resources, and certainly some have done that.
Lindsay, have you had any similar experiences in organising events in the past?
Certainly locally. I sit on a postdoctoral development committee that I actually chair at Queen's, and within that we've actually helped teach other postdocs how to chair a session. We give the opportunity for postdocs to invite speakers from other institutions, and we help them out with, you know, how do you arrange their schedule for the day? How do you chair their talk? So it is something I've certainly had a bit of experience in. I have never before done it online. So that was certainly new, and having to deal with both the chairing and the technology side of things was a new challenge.
One of the things that really stood out to me was the welcoming and encouraging way that you chaired your session on the day. What are some of your top tips on how to prepare for chairing a session?
There's not much preparation needed. I always make sure I have the program. So it's always fantastic to make sure you know everyone's names for a start. I always like to check about pronunciation as well. So if I don't know how to pronounce someone's name, I'll actually send them an email, or if I know one of my colleagues has met them before, just to check. And then really the main thing is that when they're presenting, listen. You will find something that you're interested in and go, oh, I wonder about that. And that's those questions. So I note my questions down all the way through when someone is discussing. And then at the end of that, if they haven't addressed what I've written down, then you can ask those questions. People like to be engaged about their work. People like to be asked questions. Most of the time. It's about having a discussion. You're not ever trying to catch someone out. You're not trying to point out something that's wrong or inaccurate. You really want to ask a question that could be the start of a discussion.
And what were some of the highlights from the event?
Broadly, there's a highlight here in the response to the community. So you in a short space of time, it is actually quite remarkable. And I think it's really only for those of us in science and in research that appreciate what has happened in probably 4 months, where labs have now repurposed, if you like, and geared up, started to direct their attention in certain ways. And not only have started to do that, have achieved real tangible results in a remarkably quick time. That is the highlight. That, you know, here science needs to come to the fore. And I think virologists, members of Microbiology Society have done just that. And we need, of course, to give them all the support they can. I mean, that was a highlight. The people and the personnel that have turned their attention to this problem.
I think what we were very fortunate to capture was a huge breadth of the nature of research that's going on, from very sort of applied clinical testing, through cell culture techniques, through antiviral discovery, vaccine platforms. You know, so people are trying to understand this virus as well as trying to generate therapies for it. And I think that's incredibly important, because you can't do one without the other. It was great to hear Wendy Barclay talk about virus entry, because there's been a lot of debate around that. It's really great to hear from Dave Matthews and Andrew Davidson about how this virus behaves in cell culture systems. The reagents from NIBSC in Glasgow, you know, different antiviral strategies, different vaccines, and a lot of the cell biology and innate immunity and stuff. People like Greg Towers, you know, I'm not just cherry picking names here. It's just coming off the top of my head. But, you know, I think actually some of the best talks were given by the younger presenters as well. So I think that was really important. Very, very proud and privileged to watch that.
Certainly some of the highlights were learning about the resources that were available. We heard from a couple of different people that there were these huge, really, resources at our disposal for very little or no cost that were really just waiting for anyone that needed them. So that was things like reagents, protocols, even advice on how people were approaching their experiments. To know that is out there is actually fantastic. And since that, my group has actually followed up and it has contacted one of those groups in Glasgow, actually, to see if we can avail of some of these resources. So that was fantastic and a great outcome for us.
Yeah, that's right. I think our virus workshops often are like that. So if you've ever had the chance to come to our virus workshops on the day of our annual conference, they're extremely informal, purposefully so, and they're not quite as informal as they once used to be. The idea is that it's about building communities and sharing ideas and reagents, and also giving younger researchers a chance to present their stuff. And I think that's really important. I think it's also important because there are some cynical viewpoints that sort of virology community has sort of cashed in on the SARS pandemic to sort of get additional funding and all the rest of it. But that's really not what our community is about. We really do care very deeply about addressing this issue, and we want to work together as on a united front to address it. I think that's massively important. And if that showcased that, then all the better.
The other thing for me, there was some really quite remarkable pieces of work. For me, the centre in Bristol has been fantastic. Now, they, of course, are one of the few places where, if you like that term, or card-carrying virologists, and Bristol has been a centre of coronavirus virology for some time. They have the experience and have clearly brought that to bear, not only in what they personally have done, but in making available to the community many of their resources and systems. And that clearly played out in the day where we saw some of those collaborations in Bristol with Andrew Davison and David Matthews, mentioned quite a few times.
How has the community responded so far? Have you had any feedback?
Yeah, there has been some lovely feedback on Twitter that I've seen. People certainly encouraging that they want this to happen again, that the whole ethos of the day was really positive, and that it was framed really well. Personally, I've also had a few people congratulating me on how I dealt with technical issues, which was nice. Might put that on my CV. I'm able to deal with tech failure, which has been nice. And yeah, I think we're not long out of the event now. And I think the collaborations that will come from this and the collaborative efforts will be huge. And it would be fantastic to catch up with people in, you know, 6 months' time and see what actually came from this meeting.
I think it was overwhelmingly positive. I think that everyone recognises the difficulties in doing this sort of online event, but there are actually some great positives for it as well, because people don't have to take an entire week out of their schedule to come along to a conference, which, of course, we actually actively enjoy doing most of the time. But this is slightly different, and it means that we can maybe do this a bit more frequently, we hope. Probably not for a whole day, I think, was the main feedback point from everybody. I think maybe Zoom fatigue sets in maybe after a few hours. So I think the next time we do something like this, and this will feed into our plans for the annual conference in 2021, which is online. It'll be a matter of hours, you know, half day maximum for a session. I think that's important to keep people sort of sharp and focused and not let it drift a little. So I think as the first one, it was okay because we had to necessarily encompass that scope. But perhaps next time we might be a little bit more focused on the subject area, which will allow us to have a slightly shorter meeting. But yeah, it was overwhelmingly positive. We were really pleased.
Lindsay, you were part of the committee as the early career microbiologist representative. What advice would you give to early career microbiologists who have the opportunity to take part in similar events in the future?
These kind of opportunities don't present themselves all the time, and they are fantastic to strengthen your experience with organising events or having leadership roles in events. And I would really encourage anyone that is earlier in their career, like I am, to just say yes. Don't say yes to everything, because we obviously only have so many hours in a day, but take these opportunities when they present themselves. It makes you realise that you are capable of doing it. You are able to chair a session, and it does give you more self-confidence in your own ability and in your own knowledge, which is quite a nice feeling.
Thank you so much for joining me. This has been a really fascinating conversation, and thank you for your enormous efforts in organising the workshop. For those of you who are interested, I will leave a link to the full programme in the podcast description below, and keep an eye out for Professor Mark Harris's conference report in the Journal of General Virology in the coming months. Thank you for listening to Microbe Talk.